Tested live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
All right, so as we have said, the weekend is officially here, the weekend.
Exactly.
All right, Sheldon, welcome. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
You know, the weekend is here, so
exactly.
You wanted us to dance this weekend.
We want to break this weekend open with dance moves.
What's the theme this week?
So, you know, like people are always focusing like on overseas artists doing dance music and the dance divas of the world. And I thought, let's focus on South African dance divas. Mm. And so this first song was by KB, and it's called Olala. And she's actually an amazing character. This song was from 2002. From her debut album, Beautiful Vibration. And she in total has released 6 albums. She's from the Northwest and then moved to Johannesburg. And the amazing thing about KB is that not only is she a singer, but she's also an entrepreneur and she's an actress. And she became famous on Backstage. Mm. I think everyone became famous on Backstage.
As well as, what's the other lady, the dancer's name again?
Yes. I forgot her name. Yeah. I also forgot her name. But like, there were so many people that were broken into the industry through Backstage back in the early 2000s. And
it was a very good series.
Yeah, it was excellent. And it was about the arts. Mm. So it was a perfect vehicle. It was like South Africa's version of Fame.
Yes.
Anyway, so she was on that, and then she was on Rhythm City, and she was
Losha Cooper.
Yes.
Losha Cooper.
Yeah,
she's
also
Cooper.
Choreography.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes.
And she was also on Seven Dolan and Rhythm City.
Yes.
But music was where she started off. And anyway, through the years, she's performed with many different people. She's performed with Beyonce. She's performed on stages with Beyonce and Ashanti and Brandy and Busta Rhymes. And just the stars have gone on. I mean, she's performed with so many iconic people. Multifaceted artist, 6 Metro FM awards,
yeah.
2 SAMA awards. And what I really like about this song is that she's also known for like Kwaito music and like rapping.
Mm-hmm.
But what I really like about this specific song, it's got like that housey Latin feel. So it's got a very like, you know, like South American Latin groove to it, which is such a vibe. And I think it's such an amazing thing to hear like South Africans experimenting and exposing themselves to all of these different performance styles. And actually this specific song became such a big hit that she got the nickname Mamusadi.
Mm.
At the time. So I love the song, and I thought it was such a vibe, and that's why I selected it for today's show. And interestingly enough, I don't know what the next song is that we have lined up, but the because I think it's Lebo Mathosa.
Mm-hmm.
KB actually acted as Lebo Mathosa.
Yes.
In the biopic that came out a few years ago.
Yeah.
And Lebo Mathosa, it's quite interesting because, you know, I met Lebo, and you obviously knew Lebo from from Generations.
Yes.
Lebo was quite an interesting character because 1994 came around. There was this brand new genre that was breaking out. It was called Kwaito. She was one of the maverick artists as part of Boom Shaka that was launched into a career. It was about the emancipation of the youth, the born frees. Kwaito was a representation of that. And out of Boom Shaka came her and came Tembi Siete, who has also become like this iconic artist. And actually one of my all-time favorite songs is by Tembi Siete. And
which one?
I can't even. It's from a TV series called Gazlam.
Okay.
And it was one of the songs, and I can't remember what the title is, but it's
Her Alone.
Her Alone.
Okay.
Yeah, Tembi on her own.
Okay.
And I met Lebo, and Lebo was this bigger than life character.
So she was interesting in the sense that she was both very she was an extrovert,
yeah,
and also at the same time an introvert.
Yes.
So she was both the extremes at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think there is room for that because, like, I know for myself, a lot of people, I manifest as an extrovert, but when I'm not around people, I don't want to see anyone.
And you don't want to talk. And
yeah,
she was
exactly.
like that, yeah.
And so she was from Daveyton.
Yes.
And found her fame. She was found at a club by Don Lucker, and he really believed in her and pushed her. And then she was young. She was 17 when she became famous in 1994.
The club. It was, the club was not Don. He made it happen.
Yes.
Let's pretend like Don Lucker doesn't go to clubs.
Okay. No.
Oscar was the one who met her at the club.
Yes. And then he introduced her to
Don
Lucker. And Don Lucker decided to take it further and create this band and take things to the next level. But what was interesting was she then decided to go solo. And she was hot right off the bat. But I think she was hot with Boom Shaka, and I think that launched her into a solo career. And then in 2004, exactly to the day, 20 years ago, Brenda Fassie passes away.
Mm.
So she passed away. The anniversary of her passing was today.
Mm.
And I think there was like a transference at that time where the Madonna of the townships, which was Brenda Fassie, passed away, and the baton was sort of handed over to Lebo Mathosa.
Mm.
And people were like, you know, like, we don't have Brenda anymore, but at least we've got Lebo Mathosa. Mm. And so she sort of took up that mantle and, you know, took the spot that was vacant, but only for another 2 years.
Yeah.
Because then she passed away in 2006. And it's quite a sad story. This song was released in 2004, so the year that Brenda Fassie passed away. It's called I Love Music. And it was huge. I mean, the song was massive at the time. It was from an album called Drama Queen. It was a number one hit. She released four albums, two albums in her lifetime and two posthumous albums. So there were only actually two.
Isn't that incredible? But you know what makes it unbelievable? It's because every single in the album was a hit. And so it makes it seem like she had many albums.
It was a vast, vast repertoire.
Exactly it,
But I mean, you also have to consider that there was the Boom Shaka
that's
stuff
what
before
I'm saying.
That.
And every one of those were also hits.
Yes.
So
I mean, she came out hot and on fire. But anyway, it was... So we lost both of these amazing divas within a very short period of time. There's this amazing biopic. Apparently, I've never watched
the
it.
The new one.
The one with KB
as
Brenda
Fassie.
As
Lebo
Mathosa. So I thought, this is the perfect song. I love music. Let's play it.
Yes, let's do that.
And because I think it's a vibe. It's a house track. So the one was like a Latin house. This is more like a South African house.
I think people are saying, when is he going to play the music?
Exactly. Let's stop talking about Lebo Mathosa.
Okay, so thank you so much for staying with us. 086-000-00959. Before I even said it, we got a call. We got a call from Khotatso and Melrose. Hello, Khotatso.
Hello, my two favorite people.
I just wanted to tell him that, like, Khotatso thinks he's a fabulous child.
I really do. Like, you, like, really, and when I hear both your voices on a Thursday, I know the world is just right.
The world is right, eh? You wanted to comment on Lebo and KB?
Yes. So, first of all, I went to a KB show at the now defunct Leano in Braamfontein. I think it was 2 years ago, and she sang the song, I Love Music, so beautifully, because she really, really loves Lebo Mathosa. But what I really want to talk about is just how Sheldon mentioned KB was on backstage. And I don't know if people recall that on backstage, KB played KB, spelled K-A-Y-B-E-E.
Yes.
You know, she started off as a secretary, but it was discovered that she had a talent. And so, so then she was launched as an artist on TV, on the show. And then simultaneously, in real life, her album Beautiful Vibration was launched. So I think that was just quite remarkable. I've never seen it happen in this country before. you know, where it's sort of life imitating art or art imitating life.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was just huge.
No. In fact, backstage was actually quite well
It was a very good show.
And it
launched so many people.
Mm.
There were so many people that came out of that stable. And it was all related to AFTA at the time. And they had, like, a link to the show. And the writers were from AFTA. And so there was this direct articulation from what was happening at the school to what was happening on the show and then articulating into the industry.
Thanks for that. Thanks for reminding me of that. That was really
fun. She played herself in the series.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. Thanks for that. Well, thank you. Have a lovely weekend.
Okay. You too.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Nice nugget.
Yes.
Very nice nugget. So, did you ever meet Lebo?
Lebo, I did. I met Lebo. I never met KB. Well, I mean, KB's still alive.
So you've got to meet her.
Yeah. We've got to meet KB.
Yes.
But, but there were, you know, I mean, Lebo was a larger-than-life character, and I remember meeting her the one time. She was very large.
But she was also, I think that that's the one thing people don't say about her. So she had a big heart.
Like yes.
She was a very kind person.
She
was a gifting. She was a gifter.
Yeah.
She would always be gifting people. She was very kind. Very kind.
She wasn't like one would expect like a diva. You know,
No. I think people who worked closely with her experienced her very kind nature.
Yeah.
She was one of the, I'm afraid to say first, but let's just maybe say in her time. She did big shows before big shows were a thing. She really did very big shows.
She did.
She did like an entourage of dancers.
Yes.
And that wasn't seen before.
No.
Before Lebo.
Because even Brenda was not like that.
No. Yeah. Big stars used to stand on their own, and there was that with maybe 2-3 backers.
Yeah.
She did big. She was one of the first to go quite big. And dancers loved Lebo because she paid. She got dancers to work, which was not quite... Dancers were not commercial. But dancers got to work through Lebo, and a lot of them felt that she had brought them into mainstream.
Yeah, and I guess that was what the Kwaito gift was that it was not only about music, it was about a whole lifestyle. It was about the dancing. It was about the music. It was about the clothing. It was a whole lifestyle. Like hip hop is a whole lifestyle. Kwaito was that. I saw Lebo performing at the Janet Jackson concert when Janet Jackson was here in 1998.
She swept the floor.
As the opening act?
She really was a performer.
Yeah, she was.
And she was a perfectionist.
Yes.
She wanted her work to be exactly as she imagined it.
Exactly. And that was the beauty of Lebo Mathosa, was that the shows were
just over the top, brilliant.
Yeah.
It was a theater show. Okay, let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more after this.
Yeah, tomorrow
day. People are going to love us today.
Yeah, we'll give them what they want.
This is the Thursday vibe.
Exactly.
The Puzza Thursday vibe.
Exactly. That was my intention.
You've taken us back.
I hope the audience is sitting there at home.
Kotatsu had to phone.
So they've got to be drunk. They've got to be drunk tonight. Sipping up some beers and enjoying the music.
Yeah.
So tomorrow day, I remember when she first came out, I was like, "Who is this white gal?"
Oh man, she had such a vibe.
Yeah.
About her,
and they called her the First Lady of Kwaito.
Yes.
And she was discovered by a guy called DJ Pepsi.
Yes.
Who then introduced her to a guy at YFM called DJ Oscar.
Uh-huh.
Who then pushed her and made her the success that she became. She was actually born in Belgium and then immigrated to South Africa at a young age.
Oskido got all of them.
Yeah.
Oscar just brewed the Kwaito generation.
He was cooking.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that was what YFM was there for, actually, in the early days. It was youth radio.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be launching all of these brand new artists, new sound, whatever. So she moved to South Africa at a young age. Her dad was Italian. Mother was South African. Born in Belgium. Came to South Africa very young. And then left school. Her school was Littleton Manor in Pretoria. Littleton Manor High School in Pretoria. And then studied at Pretoria Technikon, which is today the Tshwane University of Technology. And then her music career started. And because she was like discovered by DJs, that was the kind of music that she was doing, like this house vibe.
House vibe.
And became known as the First Lady of Kwaito. On her debut album, which was called The First Lady, released in 2001, from which this song comes from, What Am I To Do? She had Tembi Siete was on the album. She had Tandizwa Mzwai was on that album. And Lebo Matosa was on the album. So there were these iconic Kwaito artists that were there with her on that first album. It was hugely successful. She then released a follow-up album, and then she got involved with Craig Massive and Ryan Dent, and they released this band called Flash Republic, which they did also very well. And most recently, in the last year, well, in 2022, she started releasing new singles.
Yes,
so
she had
Disco Therapy, which was released 2 years ago, and then she did a cover version of Brenda Fassie's Promises, which she said was something that was very close to her heart. And once again, like, started up a career in recent times. So she did two solo albums. She did two albums with Flash Republic. And then most recently started releasing all of these new singles. So that was Tomorrow Day. And what an amazing song. I mean, that song is a banger.
Can I tell you how many people are asking you to just, like, make sure there's a podcast. Make sure there's a podcast. They're loving this. Can you please have a KB and Lebo Matosa review on a podcast? Isn't that lovely?
Oh.
I'm enjoying it. However, I got in the middle. Someone says, it's Miss Fair.
It will be there, girl.
Yeah. So this is great. So what are we playing next?
So our next song. Oh, the flavor of the year, Tyler. So I thought we've got something old and let's do something new or something newer.
Should we? Okay. Yeah. No, that's fine. Let's go. Ahead.
All right. So, I mean, did you?
Okay, let's talk about the Met.
The Met Gala. My
because
gosh.
I mean, we can't not talk about the Met Gala.
You know what? I think a lot of people, because this whole week I've been getting messages from people about the Met Gala.
Did you see that gown, did you see? No, so the classic for me was when, how many men?
There were six.
They were like picking her up.
Yes.
In her glory.
Yeah. So I for the longest time had this misconception of when I was much younger.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand what the Met Gala was about.
Yes.
I was like, what? These people going as freaks.
Looking weird. Yeah
every thought. Year. And then I started doing some deep diving into what the Met Gala is.
It's a costume museum.
Yeah,
yes.
It's a costume museum, actually. Yeah. The Met is a costume museum. And then every year they do this, they do the Met Gala, which introduces the theme for the year.
Tabe Magagu is there this year as a fashion designer, which is huge.
Wow.
He's got his own display there, which I think is incredible. Not easy to get in there.
Exactly. So they've got like an exhibition that rolls out after the Met Gala. Yeah. It follows a specific theme. Yeah. And then they bring out all these costumes. Yeah. And that is why it's weird and wonderful. Yeah. Because it's not supposed to be like the Oscars.
Yes.
It's supposed to be a costume.
Show us what fashion can
exactly.
Do.
Like haute couture, high-end fashion.
Yeah.
And so Tyler's dress was a hell of a thing.
Yeah.
So it was designed by Olivier Rousting, who's the head designer for Balmain.
Mm.
And the dress, so the theme for the year was the Garden of Time.
Mm.
And so Tyler went in the Sands of Time.
She got that brief so on
perfectly.
Point. So on point. Because she had this...
She had an hourglass.
A big hourglass bag, handbag.
Yes.
How amazing.
The sands through the hour times.
Like, yeah.
These are the days of our lives.
Yes.
Anyway, so she had... So the gown was made out of sand. And that is why she was being
picked up
because she couldn't move. That thing was one piece.
Yes.
And so that's why she was being moved around because she couldn't move in that dress. It was a cast.
Yeah, it was a cast.
And so... Yeah, I mean, this year has been phenomenal for Tyler.
Yeah.
That single, so on the day that she was at the Met Gala, Water went past the 600 million mark on Spotify. So massive Grammy Award, and started her career out also very young, like Lebo Matosa. And even Brenda Fassie. So, like, there's a direct link back to these dance divas that started off their careers. And today we've spoken about Brenda, we've spoken about Lebo, and now we're speaking about Tyler and the launch of a career. So, Water was the first song in 55 years to go into the top 10 in the United States since Huma Sakela's Grazing in the Grass. And when she started her career, it was her doing little videos that went onto YouTube, which blew up, and actually she landed up getting a SAMA nomination right in those early days of her career during the COVID, the COVID crisis. So the album has just come out. It's titled Tyler, which peaked at number 24 on the Billboard 200, which is the American albums chart. So to be number 24 on the Billboard chart is quite a thing.
It is.
She's backed up, or she's powered up by a woman, an iconic woman called Sylvia Roan, who's the head of Epic Records. And that is who she signed to in a joint venture with Fax Records. And that is why we're seeing so much of her. She's being backed up by the right people, the right management company that are taking care of her. So
you can tell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like a very polished product. Mm. Her management is We Make Music and Africa Creative Agency, and they've been responsible for people like Mary J. Blige. I mean, big names in the industry. So she's backed by the right people, and it's just been one success story after the next for her.
Should we play it?
Yes. The song we've chosen is Truth or Dare. I didn't want to do Water because most we've been hearing Water the whole year. So let's do something else. Give her a few more streams on another track.
Tyler.
Yeah, Truth or Dare.
He doesn't know Tyler.
And it's a vibe, hey? I mean, that song is a vibe. I'm a piano mixed with some pop music. It's a vibe. Afro beat. I think it's really cool. Yeah. So the next song that we're doing is Lady Zamar.
Yes.
A song called Collide. She's only 28 years old. So, I mean, still also very young. I mean, So she's released 4 albums in her career. 5 SAMA Awards. Collide was from her second album titled King Zamar, which was released in 2017. Mm-hmm. The album went double platinum, so it sold 60,000 units. So it was a big album. And in 2018, it won the SAMA Award for Best Dance Album. This is a house track again, like a more like traditional house track as opposed to the I'm a Piano, which we heard before. So we've had a Latin track, like a more traditional South African house track. Then we had I'm a Piano, and now we've got another house track. So Lady Zamar, I'm losing my mind.
It's the weekend.
Anyway, her first album was an album called Cotton Candy. The reason why some people call this her first album was because Cotton Candy was a duets album. So this album from which Collide comes from, King Zamar, is actually her first official solo album. So there is a disparity because the first one was a duet album. Anyway, she's got a new album out at the moment called Rainbow. So this is also the year where everyone's releasing new albums, because we had Tandiswa Maswayo was also just recently released an album, and now Lady Zamar has released her new album called Rainbow, which is quite interesting because it's a rainbow nation and we're in elections this year, and so maybe it could be some symbolism relating to trying to unify people, you know, bringing unification. She had a long gap. So like her first album was Cotton Candy 2015, then she had King Zamar, which was 2017, then she had an album called Monarch, and then there was this massive gap in 2019 to 2024, which is a long time in music circles. And it's attributed to the rape that she had with Sjava, which has been very controversial, and on both sides the case was eventually thrown out of court. And that was very controversial, and I think she needed that time to recuperate and like center herself and be able to release a new content. We're not going to go into the merits of that case, but so the song is Collide, and that's what we're going to play now.
All right, so okay. We are back with more music. Oh, that was so much fun. Listen, I think people are going to be thinking, why does the party have to stop now?
Exactly, it's not. We've got one more song before the party ends.
So you are now ending it with like legit.
Legit.
Yeah.
So I had something from the early 2000s. Then obviously this was 2017. What a banger. I mean, the bass line and real guitar. I mean, that song Collide was just on point. Anyway, so the last song, I decided to go back to the 1980s, to the roots of like this dance music. So bubblegum music was like this genre of music that emerged in the 1980s, and it was like a combination of like South African like mbatanga music mixed with like disco and pop music, and it was like this very interesting like combination of sounds. Mm. And this song that we're going to play now, I'm in love with a DJ, is like you hear it and it actually sounds like it sounds like Madonna could have sung it. Because it's got that very authentic 1980s pop, like edgy, off-center kind of sound. It was written by Attie van Wyk, which is quite interesting because the way Yvonne Chaka Chaka was discovered was she didn't want to be a singer. She wanted to be an actress. And she went for an audition at the SABC. And at the SABC, this guy called Phil Hollis walks in through the room, and they've been looking for a singer to sing one of their songs. Yeah. So you had Attie van Wyk in the studios and they were working on a song. They couldn't find a singer. And they walked in.
And back then, the SABC made musicians.
Exactly.
That people don't understand. It was the place people go to be discovered.
Yes, but Yvonne was there for an acting audition.
That's it,
she wasn't there for a music audition. And then her friend said, I want to go for this singing audition. That's what I want to do. And so Yvonne went along for the ride, and they auditioned both of them. They auditioned the friend, and they auditioned Yvonne, and they were like, we're going to go with Yvonne rather. And that's how her career was born, like completely by mistake. It was not her intention. And anyway, and so one thing to the next, and all of a sudden, this woman becomes like this iconic South African, but like you can hear that there was icon in that voice because the voice is so unusual and so distinctive that it could only be one way for this woman being a superstar because she just opens up that mouth and the voice that comes out of it is like a national treasure. And so we end off with I'm in love with the DJ.
Thank you, Sheldon. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I hope you guys party hard this weekend.
Have a lovely weekend, folks. I'll be back on Monday at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.